Jason Davis is with me by telephone this morning, and he is with, of course, Lane County, and we are going to discuss an important facility that may be opening here, a proposed facility for a clinic on Highway 101. Jason, welcome.
Hey, thanks, George. Good to be here.
So what precipitated this idea of having a clinic in Florence particularly?
So two things. One is the need. So your listeners may or may not know, we run a medication-assisted treatment facility in Eugene. Lane County does. And at that facility, every year we do records keeping, looking at various data points, and we noticed a steady increase of folks coming all the way from Florence to get their medication. And that's a huge drive just to get medication. Obviously, some of these folks pair it with other things they need to do in Eugene, but it really is a barrier. And what we know about this program in particular is that any barrier can really decrease the overall results, that it can, folks fall off the program easier if they have barriers in front of them. So that distance is a huge barrier. And so we looked at the rates. We had some conversations with your police out there to kind of get an assessment of what they're seeing. We talked to your first responders to see how they're doing with overdose. We looked at some state data, and it was pretty clear there was a need. Now, at the same time that we were doing this, we received a chunk of the overall opioid settlement money that came in nationally. It was a national lawsuit that sued a couple different opioid manufacturers, and the settlement was to the tune of billions of dollars, and then it was allocated out to states, and then the states allocated money to local jurisdictions for the expressed use of trying to invest in opioid prevention and treatment. We've invested in several different upstream strategies, looking at how to prevent opioids from getting into the hands of kids, for instance, working with police on supply chain mitigation. But we really just didn't have a strategy in place in the Florence area around treatment. And so we started sussing out the possibility of locating a treatment facility there in Florence. And we had the money from that opioid settlement. And so taxpayer money would not need to be used. So it just seemed like everything was kind of coming together to make this work for the Florence community.
Now, because this is a Lane County thing, does that prohibit people from, say, Yahats or Reedsport from taking advantage of this as well, or is it just for Florence and Florence area residents?
Yeah, so obviously the county lines don't mean as much to health, but unfortunately, the way our contracts work, we are only contracted with certain insurance companies, and one of the biggest ones that we're contracted with is Pacific Source and then Trillium, and those two insurance companies, the contract we have is just for Lane County people. So this facility would be exclusively for Lane County residents right now. Now, in the future, there's a possibility that we could talk about intergovernmental agreement with other counties. But for now, our sites are really focused on serving the people of Lane County. And the need, those folks that I referenced that are coming all the way from Florence, right now there's a little over 30 individuals coming all the way from Florence to Eugene. We think the need is closer to 100 people there in Florence that could use this treatment. All those folks either reside within the city limits of Florence or in Mapleton. So that's where we're anticipating drawing from.
Do you see this being a facility? Let me back up. How does this facility kind of work on a treatment basis? Is this like a weekly thing, or is it once a month? How does that work?
Yeah, so the typical participant, and let me just back up here and kind of, I guess, preface all this with the fact that the MAT clinic serves everybody. We've kind of gotten some conflated with unhoused services, even warming shelters recently. But this service is everybody and anybody. At our Eugene location, we serve everyone from executives to healthcare workers at that clinic. This is the only qualification is that you have a dependency issue with opioids. And anybody that has read much about opiates or understands how they work with your body, they actually replace certain chemicals in your body. So your body stops making those chemicals, and some of those are necessary for daily function. So it's not like quitting other substances. This, your body becomes dependent on. That's why we use that word dependent. It's not just an addiction. It's a dependency. So physiologically, your body needs this to keep on going. And so it can be exceedingly difficult. And it in no way discriminates based on income, housing status, or whatever. And we treat people from, you know, various walks of life. So the typical individual will, you know, have a demonstrated opioid dependency issue, but then also a demonstrated desire to break free of that and to create stability within their life. And this comes typically in the way of trying cold turkey and failing. A lot of times, most of our participants are folks who have done that. Typically, the participants have a relationship with a primary care doctor and have discussed treatment options. The doctor has recommended this. Occasionally, we do get referrals from a judge or law enforcement who have seen a person who may not have a high level of criminality, but they keep on having these interactions because of possession or other drug-related issues. And so what we do is we start an intake process, includes screening. We figure out whether or not this individual is ready for treatment. Not everyone is. Not everyone is. It's not easy. It is a commitment. It requires good attendance. It requires commitment. So folks who are not there yet, then we offer other options for them. But folks who are willing to get into treatment, they will have a multi-part kind of approach. One is obviously the medication. We prescribe several different medications. It's not just methadone. There's Suboxone. There's a few different alternatives for folks, really dependent on where they're at. And these medications, they're not only designed not to make you high, but a lot of them have a built-in sort of time release component to them so that they can't be utilized in some other fashion or abused. And so we definitely look at a prescription for them. Sometimes this prescription is a weekly dose. Initially, when they first start the program, they have to come in for every time they get dosed. So they only get one dose at a time. We don't send them home with a supply, so to speak. As they move through the program and successfully meet markers, then they can choose an option to have a supply at home. But that comes with work and time. In addition to that, they have group therapy and individual therapy, as well as, if they need it, connection to other services like job placement and some other job training. And so it's really kind of a holistic approach to stabilizing folks' lives. That's what we're after. I mean, when folks ask, like, what's the perfect scenario at the end of treatment, obviously it's independence from opiates. But beyond that, it's unraveling and building the stability back that the opioid and their dependency on that has done so much harm to their life. You know, oftentimes folks lose jobs. They lose family relationships. They, you know, are really a different person than when they first started using. And we try our very best to get them as close to where they started as possible and try to build that stability. And that helps the community in turn. You have a contributing community member. You don't have someone who is constantly thinking about how they're going to get their hands on some more substance.
Have you received much positive or negative feedback regarding the facility here?
Yeah, so the facility, like the treatment itself, we've received no negative feedback. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, you know, sometimes we have a lot of confusion because people are like, wait a second, I don't understand this. You're giving people drugs to get them off drugs. This doesn't make any sense. And so you have to kind of back up and explain, you know, the physiology behind it and what titration is, which is essentially just weaning you slowly off of a substance, which leads to greater results. And we explain the evidence, but we haven't seen a lot of that in Florence. It seems like people have at least a remedial understanding of what this is, how it works, and the fact that it does work, right? Mm-hmm. What we've seen some pushback on is the specific location that we are currently eyeballing. And, you know, that's something that we expect because in our experience with capital projects, we run into, you know, that kind of like pushback everywhere we go.
Not
in my neighborhood, and there's got to be someplace better than right here, right? That's usually the, you know, we that used to be a best med clinic, and so I think the stigma around just a general doctor's office is a lot lower than, let's say, a medication assisted treatment facility. And so We have received some negative feedback around that. And then I think, you know, the proximity to, there's a Montessori school across Highway 101, and then back behind that sits the, Shoreline School and the Adventist Church. And so I think there's some folks who are a little reticent to, throw their full support, just knowing that that is within proximity. And to be completely transparent, we do have to seek a waiver because not the Shoreline School, but the Montessori School is within 1,000 feet. And so we are going to seek that waiver if we go through with this property. But the waiver will not be pushed forward until we feel as though we've done adequate community outreach and engagement, which I don't believe we have yet. We've talked to the Montessori school, at length, the owner there. She sent out information to her parents. We just did a meeting with the real estate agents in the area, just talking to them about the logic of this specific location. Next up, we're hoping to meet with the Rotary, the Chamber of Commerce, and then do a general town hall. And then you might see me out and about doing some door-to-door stuff with adjacent neighbors, just trying to really help folks understand, but not only to kind of help enlighten them about the clinic, also understand them, help them understand where they fit in the process. Because if there's one thing we've learned, you have better results coming into a community and doing this on the community's terms and on their timeline. If we just try to bulldoze forward and say, hey, we're the county, we're going to build this, you know, that's the way it is, then we have we enter our relationship with animosity. We don't want that. This is the first brick and mortar, you know, actual owned property in Florence that Health and Human Services has ever had. And we want our relationship to start out on a good foot. So we're going to invest in that engagement and, you know, really push for folks to lend their input on the waiver process. If people are really against it, then tell your commissioner. Ryan Senega is your commissioner. He needs to hear from you. You know, we have something called a good neighbor agreement. It's effectively a contract with the community on what we do, how we do it, and what they can expect. And within that, there's some asks from the community that we're held accountable to. And so every one of those good neighbor agreements is different. We did one for the Jefferson Westside Clinic. That's the one that's currently operating in Eugene right now. And, you know, it was a long process getting that clinic sited. We had to work a lot with the neighborhood association there. And they really took quite a while to look at this good neighbor agreement, make sure it worked for them. Part of it was 24/7 security because they had a real unhoused problem at the folks camping illegally on the property before we bought the property. And so we agreed to have more lights put in, security put in. Now we haven't received a single complaint at that property. In fact, most folks would say that's improved the neighborhood and it's improved the overall aesthetic. For the average community member, people would drive by this and they would think it's either just a normal doctor's office, heck, it could even be an accounting firm. You really don't see any outward exacerbation of services. No one's using in the parking lot. No one's hanging around. There's just nothing for folks to get. And that's another thing. I think, you know, if we're thinking about how these services kind of play together, they get confused with things like, you know, homeless services or food banks or, you know, soup kitchens. We are a drug treatment facility for folks who have a real medical problem. And just like the Betty Ford Clinic, you know, folks don't go into this lightly, and they're not going to hang around. This is drug treatment. They're not looking to score. They're not, you know, they're on their way to being independent. And so folks typically will drive up, go in, you don't see what happens, they get back in their car and they leave. And unfortunately, for the individuals, but maybe fortunately for adjacent neighbors, there is that stigma. So folks are embarrassed. They want to get away from the building. They don't want folks to know that they're getting drug treatment. So it's usually pretty quiet. There's no ambulances coming up. There's no police cars doing transports. All this is 100% voluntary for the individual. They're choosing to do this. So there's none of that added traffic.
So what is the, obviously you want to do outreach first. What is the timeline for, or the proposed timeline for getting things to where the doors are open?
Well, there's several different stages. One is we have to actually, you know, select a sustainable property. So we're still kind of getting some input on that. When we close on that property, then that's not necessarily a done deal. That just means Lane County owns the property. It doesn't mean that we have, firmly established that the clinic's going in there. So after the purchase happens, if people see any news about that, they need to know that that's just because Lane County has really seen this property as a good investment and that we were able to negotiate a price that was responsible for taxpayers. We have an interest interest in buying property in rural areas anyways, because we want to increase our footprint. I think if you talk to any longtime Florence resident, including you, George, I remember during the pandemic, there is a history of Lane County kind of being absent, in terms of county government out in Florence. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for, traditionally in Cottage Grove, Oak Ridge, some of our outlying communities. So we want to change that. It's part of our strategic plan and it's part of our vision. So, acquiring the property is a big deal for us. But then beyond that, we're looking at several months of really digging down to making sure people have input on whether that clinic goes into that building. And then after that, once we feel as though we've reached some sort of consensus, we would, in a perfect world, if folks said, look, we get it, we're fine going forward with this, then we would start architectural designs and renovation of the building. It's in pretty good shape because it used to be used as a medical facility. It's already kind of geared towards how we need to use it. But there are some improvements, and we'd be about 9 to 10 months on those improvements. And then there would be some administrative stuff. So we'd be looking at probably late fall of 2026, if not early 2027, before things are finalized and we're open for business. At this real estate meeting, it was a very productive meeting. I thought we had some really good discussion, and that's to be expected. These folks understand property. They understand, the ins and outs and legality. But we had several agents that proposed some alternative properties. So we're vetting those properties right now. We're looking at them and trying to understand whether or not they would be an option. And hopefully what that's a sign of is that we want this to fit and work for Florence. We don't want to just, see something, grab it and go. So we're in the process of doing that. We're going to issue a report back on our findings of the feasibility of those other properties.
Well, not shining on any realtors, but there's always one that thinks their property is going to be better and they're going to make a little money off of it.
We don't fault them for that. Right. I'd probably do the same thing. So,
well, Jason, thank you so much. It's good to get an update on that and know that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done before this happens. And again, like you said, if Lane County can come in and have a presence here, I'm sure that'll be nothing but a positive return on investment.
Yeah, we have lots of services out there that we can co-locate in the building too. I mean, our veteran services serves you guys. We have folks that are traveling all the way in we've occasionally been out there with vet services. WIC is another service that people take advantage of. And I don't think people have a problem with, mothers and children getting food they need, right? So there's some opportunity for us to I guess, sweeten the deal with the property and potentially, expand beyond just this one service.
Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you, George. Talk to you soon.
All right. That concludes hour one of the January edition of Our Town 2026 version. Hard to believe we've got a whole new year. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to start off with some folks from The Face and talking about the upcoming Winter Music Festival. A lot of bluegrass, Americana, and folk. It's going to be a great weekend, and we'll find out what else is in store for that event.